Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, meganfrancis.substack.com. Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, and we're the hosts of The Mom Hour.
On this show, we're joined by a team of unique mom voices from across the country and in different stages of motherhood to bring you tips, ideas, and encouragement, and to help you feel a little less alone.
We all know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share honest truths and remind each other that it's all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to The Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 457 of The Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So today, March 19th, is actually our 9-year podcast anniversary this day. So happy anniversary.
That blows my mind.
Nine years.
Happy anniversary.
I love it.
Wow.
Well, we actually have a couple fun episodes that we always do something fun around our birthday, and it's not today. So today we have like a regular, really like tips packed episode all about sanity savers for stuck at home days. These are your sick days, friends. They're your snow days. Here in California, we have atmospheric river school cancellations. Someone mentioned teacher strike cancellations in the Facebook thread. So these are the days where everything screeches to a halt and you're staying home with your kids for some reason. How do we stay sane? We have really, really good tips from the community today. So that's the topic of today's episode, but I couldn't not say happy 9 years.
Absolutely. And we do have an episode coming up next week where I think we're going to dive a lot into, or at least touch on some of the things that have happened in the last 9 years. So look for that next week.
Yeah, that'll be next week. Before we dive into these great tips from our community, a couple things I want to draw everybody's attention to. First of all, you and I are taking a little break of our own, a spring break, if you will. The first two Tuesdays in April, we are not here, and we have something really fun lined up for the listeners. Katie and Katie, who both work for us behind the scenes at the Mom Hour, they have different roles on our team, and they also contribute to the podcast and the blog. Katie G and Katie P are taking over the mic the first two Tuesdays in April, and they are working on some really fantastic episodes that I know everybody's going to love. They have an episode, a budgeting and finance episode called Small Tweaks to Save Big Money, and another one that's going to help get everybody ready for the May crazy that comes around every year. And it's called Hacks for Slaying Busy Seasons. And so that's going to be time management and meal planning and productivity and just, again, staying sane tips, especially for busy seasons of life. So I'm just so excited to be able to hand the mic over to Katie and Katie.
Me too. And
bring their great content to you all. So look for those episodes the first two Tuesdays in April.
I love this because Katie and Katie are a fabulous duo. And I keep waiting. First of all, I know you and I could use the April break, but I have to say, I keep waiting for May's to get a little easier as my kids get older. And so far that has not happened.
And
it's still crazy.
You're going to have a graduate this year. I feel like you just had a graduating kid.
I did. I know. And this year, his graduation is May 18th. They moved it up.
Like
our school's graduations didn't used to happen until June.
Which means April's actually going to feel wild and crazy too. That's what I've noticed is sometimes like the May seeps into April, or you're trying to like get everything done in April because there's so much happening in May. I don't have anyone graduating this year. I don't think. To remember.
You don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? We also wanted to say a quick thank you to all the people who reached out and let us know that they were ordering a copy of the Mother's Gratitude Journal, an easy guide to capturing everyday joys and milestone moments. That is now live.
It's out.
So you can. It's out there in the world. So you can go buy a copy wherever you buy books. But we're really excited about that and looking forward to hearing what you all think.
Yeah, thank you so much to everyone who has already ordered. And maybe people are seeing it as we get closer to like Mother's Day. And I don't know, baby shower gifts. And you'll have to let us know if you see it in any boutiques or shops in out in the wild. That would be really fun. Send us a picture.
Yeah, I heard from someone who told me she bought like 5 copies because she's got a bunch of baby showers coming up this year. And I thought, what a great idea.
I love that. I love it so much. It means so much to us. It's a podcast anniversary gift to us. See what we did there? All right. Well, we have so many great tips. I was reading through these and as usual, as always happens, I was like, well, clearly they don't need us, Megan. Like what are we doing? The moms in our community have solved all of the things and including, but not limited to stuck at home days. So let's dive in and just share some tips from the community. I'm going to start with Ainsley, and this is about sick days. So Ainsley says, we set up a sick bed in the middle of the living room. It's a cot that we use for camping and traveling with a little lap tray next to it so the kids get their own table. Sick kids get to use a sleeping bag, which is easier to wash. Genius. And then they have their little table for meals as their official spot in the living room. And then she goes on to say they get unlimited screen time and preferences for shows and jammies and whatever clothes, comfy clothes they want to wear all day. And then I love this. She says, if there's yucky tasting medicine involved, kids get their choice of a chaser, whether it's a candy to eat immediately after to clear the taste or a special juice or drink that's only theirs for when taking medicine. I love this because it just kind of makes the sick day, you put some parameters around it, makes it maybe a little bit special, but not just special, also convenient for mom. She can wash the sleeping bag. Like
that's the part I was going to say. This sounds very convenient. And I love the memory of when I was a little kid and would have a sick day and remember how special it felt unless I was like delirious with fever or something.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like most of the time it was like, I felt kind of rotten, but also it was kind of great.
Yeah.
And I love that there's all these like little rituals sort of built into that. That is really fun. Well, the first one I am going to call out is from Courtney. I love this so much because it's super random,
yeah.
But it also shows you how so little will mean so much to a kid as far as fun, like just doing the weirdest things. So she says, when my kids were little, they used to love, and I'm not going to lie, I did too, freezing their little figurines in ice. We had all kinds of little toys like Polly Pockets, Lego people, and we would put the really small ones in ice cube trays and the bigger ones in large Tupperware bowls and then put them in the freezer to set. Once they froze, we would go outside and bust them out. We'd do one at a time and the kids would have so much fun throwing these chunks of ice at the ground until they freed their toys. Great time killer and so satisfying. They're 12 and 15 now and honestly would probably still enjoy it. I just love necessity is the mother of invention, yeah. They say.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a snow day or an atmospheric, what was it?
Atmospheric river
day. Yeah. And we're bored and there's nothing left to do. And we've like every toy game and et cetera has been used to the limit and all the screen time is used up. So I know, let's just freeze some stuff.
It's so good.
And then smash it.
It's so good. And this is where I sometimes get jaded. Like I've been a mom for a really long time. We have this podcast. I feel like I've heard of everything and seen everything. And I don't think I've ever heard of anyone doing this. Maybe everyone's doing it, but it's such a fun idea. I also love that it definitely would use up some time because stuff isn't going to freeze right away. So you're going to put on a movie, you're going to let stuff freeze. Like it just sort of like helps draw out the day. I love it.
Did you ever have any kids who were really into freezing things?
Violet.
I have multiple.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will open the freezer and just find stuff in there. And Violet is really into like potions and mixtures generally. And so not all of them get into the freezer, but many do. Yes.
Last time Jacob lived with me, you know, Jacob, the one who's 26.
not a small child.
Not a small child. Same thing. I would look in the freezer and be like, why is there what looks like ice cream that melted in the bowl and then refroze, but also there's some new stuff added to it, like stuff like that. Hmm. Not potions like a little kid would do, but sort of like potions.
I love it. It will reveal itself for what that means for him in due time. Okay, so this comes from Natalie and is, I guess, maybe less fun and frivolous than freezing minifigures, but oh so essential. So Natalie says, if you have a co-parent, discuss ahead of time who will be covering these days, these stuck-at-home days, and what that will look like, and revisit this periodically. She said there could be so many of these unexpected days. So in general, I'm a fan of regularly touching base with your co-parent about division of responsibilities. and communicating early and often. And so I guess I'm reading between the lines a little bit on Natalie's comment, but it would be easy for the default parent to become even more the default parent. And if you've got multiple young kids who are staying home from daycare, staying home from sick, and both parents are working, that's just good advice. Maybe even touch base with your co-parent before someone is chronically ill all winter, like going into the cold and flu season, like, okay, what's our strategy this year? Like I have more flexibility in the mornings, or you can catch up on sleep in the early evenings, but it takes two a lot of the time.
It does. And it's very true that very often one parent ends up becoming sort of the default parent that takes over because it's not planned out in advance. And often that parent is the mom, let's just say. So just pointing that out. Okay, this is another one for sick days. And I think this is like kind of disgustingly genius. So this is from Megan. And she says, it only falls into the more fun category for parents, I suppose. I don't know. I think it sounds fun for everyone. When my kids had a stomach bug and were old enough or developmentally able, I used to pay them every time they hit the toilet or bowl when they threw up. Of course, no one enjoys being sick, but it was a win-win. They could make money while sick, and I didn't have to deal with cleaning up big messes. I mean, this is so genius because all kids are differently motivated, let's just say.
Yes.
And I had some kids who could not be bothered to make it to the toilet, but might have if there were money on the line.
It's so good. I mean, and it's so worth it as a parent. When your kids reach that milestone. Yes, exactly right. Oh my gosh, I love it. Well, we have many suggestions for different types of baths in the middle of the day. I will share, I don't think I saw this in the thread, but for me, a sink bath was always like a boredom buster. And I would put up to like 2.5, 3-year-olds in the sink if I could fit them. There were counter height. And then, you know, as young as whenever they could sit up, 8, 9 months. So sink baths, that's just a bonus tip from me. But this one comes from Grace, and I can't believe this is a thing. So she says, pom-pom baths keep my kids entertained for well over an hour. And she says, and I put on headphones and listen to the mom hour. She says, take a large bag of pom-poms. Yes, the regular ones from the craft store, and just dump them in the bathtub with your kids. To clean up, take a lingerie bag or pillowcase and scoop them up, then throw them in the washing machine and dryer. Megan.
This is genius.
What is even happening?
I mean, I kind of want to take a pom-pom bath.
Or I at least want to give a couple of cute kiddos a pom-pom bath. Like, I want to see this.
It reminds me a little bit of the fact that I was a little too old for ball pits when they started to make their way into fast food places.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have a Chuck E. Cheese. They probably had them there sooner. But like, I remember very specifically the Hardee's in our town
got
a ball pit the same year I was too old to jump in the ball pit. Mm-hmm. And I would stand there and like look longingly. I was 12 years old and I would stand there and like longingly look in this ball pit wishing I could jump into it. So there's something about like being surrounded by little balls.
Yeah.
That's just really fun.
My kids recently discovered koosh balls again somewhere and got that. Remember the koosh balls with like the pulley kind of elasticy?
Yeah.
They look like pom-poms, but it's a different and
they're rubbery kind of.
Yes, they're more rubbery. I mean you could actually take those in the bath too, because they're just rubbery. But there is something about that, like it's tactile, it's textured. I would never have thought of a pom-pom bath. So Grace, I don't know, A+ on that one. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's 3, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code momhour50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Okay, Megan, like many of our listeners, I'm sure I've been doing some spring cleaning in my closet lately, and it always feels so good to get rid of clothes I'm not wearing, things that don't fit or that aren't my style anymore. But you know what I realized? All of my Vionic shoes are always in the keep pile. They just tick all the boxes. They're cute, comfy, high quality. They last forever. And I love growing my Vionic collection, especially with the latest styles from their Vionic Vitals collection.
The Vionic Vitals collection offers daily wear styles designed for elegance, comfort, and versatility. We both love the Uptown Loafer, which collapses flat, so it's perfect for travel. The Chardonnay Heeled Sandal, which I know you love, Sarah. The Walk 23 Classic Sneaker, which our team member Katie gets compliments on all the time. And the Willa Slip-On Flat, one of my favorites, which comes in 12 colors for any outfit.
Yeah, I need to get the Willa Slip-On Flat. That's next on my list. Well, listeners, if you're ready to try the shoes we're always raving about, use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's one-time use only. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Okay, I love this one from Sydney because I love that they have a, I don't know, a rule or a strategy or something in place for when mom is sick. Mm. Because you know when mom is sick, the very well-earned stereotype is that no one takes care of us. Life just keeps going and we keep doing everything. There's no other plan in place.
It's like no one's ever thought that this might happen. And by the way, all these other great tips we are giving today, it's sort of implied that mom has enough energy to do a pom-pom bath or, you know, freeze the Lego minifigure. So yes, I'm glad we're spotlighting this one too.
Well, Sydney says, when mom is sick, dad makes sure to feed a well-rounded high protein breakfast to kids before work. I mean, right there, that is a win because then they're going to be like, have some staying power and they're not going to be coming to you for snacks at 10 a.m. And then sets out a cereal setup with various snack options and a simple lunch. And he hires a kid as a butler for the day. Okay, so dad has not only gotten breakfast, but also has like basically created an all-day buffet for the rest of the day and put someone in charge of it. And that kid will be in charge of the whole house and making sure mom is well cared for. Not in a pressure way, she says, but in a more like fun, kids are in charge kind of way. Then the kids serve mom food in bed. I mean, it's probably just something they kind of pluck out of the snack bar, but whatever. They take the dishes to the sink and they're allowed to have living room picnics for all their meals that they must prepare themselves. Now, here's the ages of these kids. The system has worked wonders for a 6 and 3-year-old while mom is down with horrible morning sickness.
Wow.
So she's got morning sickness. So this is obviously something where it's not just once. Yeah, it's like it's going to be this way for a bit. So we need to get in front of this, but now we can all learn from.
Yeah. And that's so sweet to have those. Those are little kids doing all that and dad stepping up. I love that.
And the kids probably love it too.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Yeah. I love that.
Kids like to feel important and they like to feel like they're useful and that they're helping. So I think that's so smart.
Yes. I hope somebody's also helping tidy up at the end of that.
I'm just going to assume it's dad.
Yeah. Thank you, dad. Yeah. Okay, so this one comes from Honey, and I love it so much. It's just simply water and or fire. But she goes on to explain, when my kids were little, doing anything with water was helpful to keep kiddos happy. Throw the trucks in the bath, fill the sink, set up a baby pool in the basement. Now I have teens, and they love campfires. I keep s'mores stuff on hand, and they tend to stay outside and find things to do when the campfire is going. And this one I had to jump in and comment in the Facebook thread that I've never thought about the fact that like little kids equal water and teens equal fire, but it's so true. So I love it. Water until fire can be safely employed, and then fire.
And then mom has the water just in case.
Yes, exactly.
Well, this one's fun from Mel. She says, I hang on to a few gifts from birthdays or Christmas or whatever holidays and pull them out on these days. She says she had 2 days at home with her 5-year-old and did it those days with a small Lego packet and a Kiwi crate that she'd held on to. The novelty of the items really kept him engaged. She said this could work equally well if you're good at rotating out the toys that have been in favor. I was never that great at that. Right, I tried. Neither. But it was kind of like if something was working, I wanted them to just keep playing with it. Mm-hmm. And then when I rotated toys out of view, I'd forget about them. So I wasn't great at that. But we have talked because we've worked with Kiwi Crate in the past and we've talked about that. They're great to have on hand.
Yep.
For when something like this, because they're like a project, it's kind of a encapsulated project.
Yep. And you get the satisfaction of opening, like, all the materials are so nice and the instructions look so nice and it feels like opening a present or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a great one.
That's a great one, too. Okay. So Alexandra says for snow/cold/inclement weather days, which they had a lot of this January in Iowa, she said, when everyone is healthy but can't really leave the house, embrace the mess and chaos. You want to build an art project out of the recycling bin and random art supplies? Go for it. You want to ride your scooter in the house? Fine, as long as you don't crash into anything. She says, I tell my kid he can make as big of a mess as he wants. He just has to help put everything away before he goes to bed that night. And he knows that if he ever complains that he's bored, all I will say is, that's awesome. What do you think you'll come up with? Which usually results in the biggest messes, and it works for us. I love this. This kind of reminds me of early COVID days. Like,
yes.
I know a lot of us have mixed emotions looking back at like spring 2020. And I've talked to people who feel very nostalgic and have very happy memories. And then for others, it was really, really stressful time. And for us, it was, I guess, somewhere in the middle. But there was a lot of making and creating and just like, yes, it's like wild abandon of whatever semblance of control you had over your space. And then it would get cleaned up and it would get tidied up. And I think for those of us who feel overwhelmed by mess, it's a good exercise to try, like Alexandra says, to just completely let go and maybe to build our tolerance a little bit for that chaos. I think for me, I just have to remind myself that like it will get put back together. This room that now looks like a tornado hit it. We did a lot of like pulling out every stuffed animal that we owned and like, you know, spreading multiple blankets around the room, lots of forts. Like it's a leap of faith to lean into that level of chaos, but it does really help pass the time and it's sweet. And I have lots of great pictures of those times.
Okay. This one's from Shelley. I love this. And it's kind of along the same lines as like, let them make a mess, but this sounds very controllable actually. For preschool to second grade or so, she says, a box of Q-tips is a great toy. My son became a little architect, creating roads, cities, neighborhoods. He really used his imagination to make blueprints. And Q-tips are cheap, require little storage, and don't hurt if you step on them in the dark. I think this is really genius. I mean, they are fun. You can really kind of build easily with them because the little tops, if you build like a little teepee shape.
Yeah, yeah.
The soft tops kind of help them stick together. But I hadn't really ever thought of just handing them over to the kids and being like, here, do something.
So the anxious mom in me is like immediately worried that someone's going to stick it in their ear or up their nose and like hurt themselves. But I think that's a relatively low risk. And
I think it depends on the kid.
Yeah.
I don't see my like second graders.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
A 3-year-old who likes putting things in their nose. Very, very, very possible.
Yeah. They also are great for like paint and color stuff too. Cause you can use them for art too. Okay, well, this one comes from Emerald, and it's one after my own heart because it's adding a little rule, a little structure to the unstructured stuck-at-home day. And they have the rule of threes, and that is 1/3 chores, 1/3 non-screen creative or outdoor play, and 1/3 anything goes in that order. And then she says not for a sick day. She's not going to make her sick kids do chores. But assuming you're stuck at home for another reason, it's first third of the day is chores. Second third of the day is something that's not on a screen, creative or outside. And then the last third of the day is anything goes. And I have employed similar things to this in different ways during summer breaks when we don't have a lot of structure to our days. And I have found that just putting off that anything goes time and stretching kids a little bit to find other things to do besides their video games or besides whatever they're into is helpful in getting the chores out of the way first. So I really like that. One third, one third, one third.
When I read that, I thought this is very much a Sarah.
Yeah.
This is a Sarah type of a thing. But yeah, because it's not, it gives you like some structure, but not too much.
Yeah.
A third of a whole day is, you know, it's a big chunk of time. It like ends up being sort of within that chunk of time. It still leaves a lot of room
for
flexibility.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, along the lines of trashing a room, Misty says, with little kids, I would take painter's tape and tape roads all over the floor, and then they would use Legos or anything else they had to make cities. I love this so much. When I was a little kid, I spent a lot of time building towns and cities out of whatever I could. So like anything that I could, if it was cereal boxes, if it was, I had a toy called Puzzle Town that was big in this. I think it had been passed down maybe from my older siblings. It's way out now, but it had like little Richard Scarry characters.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a town that got all put together with like wooden storefronts and things like that. Anything where I could build cities, I was really into. And I loved when my mom would kind of play along. Like if she was vacuuming, she would always make sure to set the chairs up in a certain way so that I could kind of use them.
Oh,
there's something about your mom sort of like getting in on the fun. She's not playing with you necessarily, but like getting in on the fun and like facilitating you basically turning your living room into something totally different that I have very special memories of from being a little kid. So I love that. I love it. Painter's tape. I was joking about making a mess because painter's tape comes up really easy.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's a great one. Well, Adrian says, I bribe with puzzles, as in, hey, kids, you have to work as a team to complete this 300-piece puzzle and then get blank afterwards. I really love that. So my relationship to jigsaw puzzles is that I don't personally like doing them. Have we talked about this? Do you like puzzles?
We've talked about it.
You don't either, do you?
No, I do.
Okay.
But there comes a point where I'm really over it. Mm-hmm. Like, in theory, I really like it. And then there usually comes a point where I'm, unless it's the one that you can just kind of do in a day or two, I don't like to still be working on the same puzzle 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
And I don't like messing up a table.
Well, that is, you have to kind of give up a surface. I just find there are people who just love puzzles, and I am not one of them. I've never bribed with puzzles, although I do really like that. What I do with my kids if we're home a lot is I will just pull one out. We have some really beautiful jigsaw puzzles, and I will pull one out and open it up and set up the box so they can see the picture and just get started on flipping, you know, not even all the pieces over, but flipping enough of the pieces over. And then I say nothing and I just stand back and watch, and it will draw a kid in. I have found I will do the same with, like, you know, my kids are big, so we don't have like building blocks or things like that as much anymore, but I will still pull out something that a kid can kind of idly play with their hands. I'm thinking of, we have some of those like cantominoes, those like shape, or like a fidget, like a wooden fidget, or like a Jenga gamer, something. And you don't have to be like, hey guys, let's play a game. Cause sometimes with big kids, especially, that can, like, they don't want to just because you suggested it. But there is something subversive as a mom about setting the stage for some kind of wholesome activity. And then you just, like, you feel so satisfied when they fall, I guess, when they fall for it, when they take the bait.
Right, right, right. I love that. Okay, this one's coming from Jillian. She said, today is a sick day. My 7-year-old made her own dough. I had to relinquish control of the kitchen because it's torture watching your kids do these kinds of things, and she won't take any direction. So I just let her make a mess, and she ate the whole thing when it was done. She told me it was flour, sour cream, and an egg. Oh, it looked like dough. She sliced apples and added cinnamon and sugar on top, and I just put it in the oven. Now, what I love about this is it just shows you that kids will eat anything if they make it.
Uh-huh.
Now, imagine you made that and handed it to your kid. I don't know that it would go over the same way, but there, it really does enforce sort of that, or reinforce that pride of like doing it yourself and the connection between, like, if I want to eat something, someone has to make it for me. I just think there's a lot going on there. And then, you know, Jillian had to kind of avert her eyes for a little while.
Yeah, that's really, really sweet. I love it. Well, speaking of food and eating, Jenny says, we have a go-to meal on sick days. ramen noodles with an egg scrambled in it, like egg drop soup. We don't do ramen any other days, so it's a treat, and I don't have to think about what to make. Plus, ramen can sit in the pantry forever. Okay, my kids would love that. They are obsessed with ramen. And it is a great example of decide once what your sick day go-to meal is. You already have it. But I also realized, like, this is getting at something that I feel like keeps cropping up in these, Megan, which is if you have rules or structure or any kind of semblance of order in your regular life with kids, then these stuck at home, stay at home days become great opportunities to bend or flex those rules. Yeah. I have found this harder as my kids have gotten older because I'm less structured than I used to be. We have fewer restrictions on like sweets and snacks and screens, and we have some, but way fewer. But I just so remember that there was such freedom in like so many of these rules that we're reading through is actually what moms are saying is like, we're getting out the thing we never get out, or they're watching the thing they never get to watch. And I really relied on that a lot when my kids were little and sick too. It was like, pull out all the stops.
Well, also when they get older, there's just less ways to impress them or make them. It's like, it's not really that fun. Imagine if you were like, hey kids, you know, to Luke, let's freeze some Polly Pockets.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, maybe, you know, it might go over great, but there's also a chance your kids would just be like, okay, great mom, thanks a lot. Like they would humor us.
Yes.
That's not as fun. It's not as fun to be humored.
Then again, they can sit and read a magazine for an hour, which a three-year-old cannot. So maybe in some ways we don't need to wow them quite as much because they're a bit more independent. But we are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero-sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no questions asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing 1 packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour.
Okay, I'm going to actually read 2 because they both have to do with special beds. Mm. And I just think this is something that I know in our family, when I was a kid, like I said, usually it was my mom's bed that I got to hang out in. And that was very unique and different. That was not something I got to do all the time. And when my kids were sick, there would usually be, depending on the house we were living in and how old they were and things like that, it might be my bed. It might be like right next to me where I was working on the sofa or something. So there's just like, there's like that special spot that gets set aside. Yes. And so the next two I'm going to read are about that. So the first one's from Sarah. She says, on sick days, they get to hang out on the Murphy bed in my office all day while I work. Now, first of all, it's super cool that Sarah
has jealous.
A Murphy bed. I want a Murphy bed.
I do too.
Especially just in my office.
As a sidebar, we stayed when we went to Cabo over Thanksgiving, the kind of like timeshare condos we stayed in had Murphy beds. And that I think is the first time I've ever really like gotten up close with one. Like it seemed like something from a movie or something. So I'm very jealous.
Okay. I have a quick question. This has nothing to do with our topic, but I have two Murphy bed related questions because I'm very intrigued. One, when you fold them up into the wall, does something hold them in place?
No.
You still have like a little, how does that happen?
I think it was kind of gravity and the springs in the same way that when you close a drawer or a cabinet, the hardware is such that it is closed taut. It's not going to fall down. And the bed is, you know, very secured to the platform that's pulling down. So the ones that it was simple mechanics. I mean, I'm sure it's not simple on the inside, but no, it was just, it pulled down with like cabinet handles and then you just pushed it up and it felt like gravity / momentum / physics was doing the job.
I kind of am picturing like an old fashioned attic pull down.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Like it's heavy, but you don't, it's structured it's so that it's not going to fall down. Or, no. Yeah.
Okay. And then the other question is if it's as a space saving, I guess, device, did you find that there was a lot of having to shuffle things around out of the way of the bed?
You know, these condos were set up very interestingly where we encountered the Murphy bed. You could tell that they were built so that you could sleep, like if you needed to, you could sleep 10 people in this two bedroom condo. And so because of that, it was the Murphy bed opened up kind of into like the foyer, like you walked in and it was sort of like an open area. And there was like a little table and a table with a lamp on it. And it kind of looked like weirdly empty space. And then you're like, oh, it's weirdly empty because you can pull a bed down into it. If you had one in a room that was otherwise furnished well, I think you would have to do a lot of scooching around.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sarah, for the opportunity.
With my limited, with my one-time experience, I am now a Murphy bed expert.
Well, that's something that I've been wanting to ask someone who knows something about Murphy beds. And this Sarah gave us the perfect opportunity to talk about it. So, and then the other one that is bed related, special bed related, is from Tara. And Tara says, we have a blow up mattress that we only bring out for major sick days where we're going to be stuck at home for multiple days, like COVID or the flu. We let the kids eat on it, nap on it, watch TV on it, bounce around on it. They think it's really fun and special. And she's got a picture of it kind of in front of what looks like their sofa sectional, maybe like in a family room or something. Mm-hmm. So like I can just see a kid, perhaps multiple kids bouncing off this, you know, very thick, tall air mattress onto the sofa back on like, as they're getting better, as you're slowly seeing them start to perk up, having a ball. It looks like a kid's dream, actually.
That reminds me, here's another just free bonus tip from me that I forgot. If you have a tent, like a pop-up tent for camping, you can set that up indoors and make that the cozy nest or a sick bed. I mean, if you had a kid who was barfing or that you needed to access easily, maybe not. But Violet went through a big phase of setting up a tent inside and she would like spend a full hour getting it right with blankets and stuffed animals and a little lantern. And so indoor camping, indoor tent. And then it also kind of contains whoever the low key kid is. It just like puts them in their own little bubble. So,
right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of doing things indoors that are usually outdoors, Emily says living room picnic, sometimes with a movie, sometimes just hanging out. I have preschoolers, but they love just doing a simple PB&J in their lunchbox and eating on the floor. Easy for me. And they really enjoy it. I did so many what I called picnics when my kids were little. Like I maybe not even on stuck inside days. I think the reason I liked it is because I had to do the pack a lunch thing sometime earlier. So I could pack a lunch in the morning or whenever I was doing the breakfast dishes, and then lunch was done. And I might just be sending them out to the back patio or, like, yeah, she said, doing it on the living room floor, but kids love it. It sort of contains lunch a little bit easier. It's not like, oh, can I have another slice of apple? Can I have, it's like, well, here's your lunchbox. This is lunch today. No, here's a movie. So I love the living room picnic.
Well, this is another one that is bath related from Suzanne, but honestly, I don't know what she's talking about. So maybe you do. She says, another mom here turned me onto glow stick baths. Now, would that be like a bath full of glow sticks, or is it like the kids are in the bath and the lights are off and they have glow sticks at the same time?
I think the second way is what I'm picturing.
Okay.
Like you turn the lights off and
it would be hard to fill an entire tub with glow sticks.
Yes.
But they would look really cool floating in the tub.
Yeah, they would. A glow in the dark bath. That's really fun. All right. This is from Gina, a mom, another mom after my own heart. She says, for stay-at-home days, not when we're sick, I find an activity that I like to do and that my kid might enjoy as well. This way, I feel like I am enjoying the day and not just stuck in the kid zone. For me and my oldest, this ends up being a more structured painting activity or baking something yummy. So I like that reminder that when mama's happy,
like it.
Yes, you get to like it too. And I actually remember kind of having a little burst of energy at the beginning of like, let's say my kids were just coming down with something and I wasn't bedraggled yet. I wasn't like at the end of my rope. I'd almost get a burst of energy because it was like, I wasn't sick. And all of a sudden we canceled everything. No preschool, no activities, no this, gymnastics, yeah, whatever. And I would often like decide to clean out the pantry or bake something fun or do a project. And so, yeah, just remember that you can claim these days for yourself as well. And often this thing we think we're supposed to do, which is like come up with endless activities for the children, can be flipped around. If you come up with things that you like to do, that you might have a toddler who's like your little sidekick, or you might have an older kid who wants to learn and help with what you're doing. So don't forget that you can choose activities based on what you like to do too.
If you have a toddler, I guarantee they want to do whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to try that hard.
Yeah.
Right. Like they will be happy to tag along.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here is one that comes from Sierra, who lives in Minnesota. And I just think this is a great reminder that sometimes, even though it's a big hassle to do the thing, like suit the kid up and go out in the snow or put on the galoshes and go out in the rain or whatever that thing that can seem, not necessarily if they're sick, although if they're overcoming, just have sniffles or something, yeah, it's probably fine. But you may really not want to do it. And yet it may be the best part of the day and yeah, the thing that helps them nap better or have a more chill afternoon or helps you feel okay about turning on Bluey or something, mm-hmm, you know? So like, there's those outings really pack a triple punch, I think, because it's like fun for the kid, maybe a little bit less fun for you, but it's like worth having done.
Yep.
So this is from Sierra, and she says, we got a pair of snowshoes last year when Minnesota was hit hard with snow and it was too deep to walk in. We pulled my toddler around on a sled in the backyard and she loved it, although she was even more entertained by watching us throw snowballs in the air for the dog to catch in his mouth. So it's just, I mean, it's a simple moment. If you yeah, have the tool, you already have the snowshoes. If you live in a place like Minnesota, good chance you're going to get to use them. Then you're ready. And it's like, oh, now this is an opportunity
yeah,
to put these things to use.
Yeah. I would say like, there's so many things like that maybe don't get pulled out that often. Kites, flying kites is another one. If you are blessed with a windy day on a sick day, I can just picture our garage and thinking of things that could be pulled out for a little bit of outdoor action on a stay-at-home day.
Yeah.
Anne says, for snow days, and lately we've had teacher strike days, I try to set up play dates. So this, again, would not be for your sick days, but the other kinds. Everyone has such busy schedules usually that it can be difficult to line up a time, but often we've had more success when we get a random day off from school. And then my kids get along better when a friend is added to the mix. It breaks up their usual sibling dynamic. Amen. I think if you can pull this off, neighbor friends tend to be great. Sometimes like mixed age friends, having a little kid over if you have bigger kids. Like I do think it's a great way also to help out a fellow mom and vice versa. You could trade kids. So yeah, if the reason you're stuck at home is not because of contagious germs, The more the merrier. I agree. Well, thanks to everybody who gave their great suggestions. We were reading those from our Facebook group, our private Facebook community, which if you're interested, you can join by clicking the link in the show notes and just answering the questions that pop up. That those help us know that you are, in fact, a member of this community and a listener of the podcast. So we'll link up the whole thread because we didn't have enough time to get to all of them. And as usual, you all are so smart. Megan, this was really fun. Happy 9-year anniversary again.
Happy 9-year anniversary to you.
Yeah. Wow. This coming Friday, we're going to re-air a fun episode as a little bonus for you all. So look for that on Friday. It'll be a blast from the past. Megan and Sarah circa 2018 coming into your ears. And then as you hinted at, Megan, next week on Tuesday, we're doing a really fun episode kind of in honor of our 9-year anniversary. So that will be out a week from today, and we'll talk to everybody then.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to The Mom Hour. Everything we talked about in today's episode is available at themomhour.com. And hey, while you're there, you can find more than 500 podcast episodes, plus articles, playlists, and resources about motherhood and parenting at every stage.
And if you like today's episode, we'd love it if you would take a minute to share the show with another mom in your life. You can also find us on Instagram at The Mom Hour, chatting and interacting with listeners between episodes.
Thanks for being here, friends. We'll talk to you soon.
The Mom Hour is brought to you by The Essential Calendar. Sarah, this is our favorite calendar for busy moms because its beautiful and simple design shows around 3 months at a time.
Yeah, and with summer fast approaching, now is a great time to get the Essential Calendar and see what I've been raving about all these years. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. Hey everyone, Sarah here. Megan and I would absolutely love it if you hit pause right now, right where you're listening, and left The Mom Hour a rating and review. If our show has helped you feel a little more confident as a mom or a little less alone, that's one of the absolute biggest ways you can thank us. And it really takes about 30 seconds. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, just navigate to The Mom Hour's show listing. So not the episode you're listening to right now, but the kind of landing area for our show as a whole, and then scroll down to leave a rating or review. Thank you so much.